Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Land. God bless you, each and every one of you. So this is your time to just relax, sit back, let's chill for a minute. Whatever's been going on today, hey, lay it aside. Whatever bad thoughts you had today, lay it aside. Whatever it is that was done, maybe you got stabbed in the back by some friend today. Maybe that job didn't work out right. Maybe your kids was acting up today. Maybe what you thought should have happened to you or blessed you with today didn't happen, but guess what? Lay it aside. We are still blessed. We are so blessed. We're blessed in the fields. We're blessed in our homes. We're still blessed on our jobs. So we have a lot to be thankful for. We're going to talk tonight just about faith. We talked a little bit on the last broadcast just about, you know, do you believe? What is it that you believe? Your healing is there, whether it's the mental healing, physical healing, whatever it is, it's available to you and to me. So The fact is, do we believe? So before we even get started, do your little self-examination. Ask yourself, do I have faith in the area that I'm praying about? Standing on faith? Is that what I need prayer in? Do I need prayer to a stronger faith? Once I get the faith, do I have works to go with it? Faith plus works get actions done, right? This faith without works is dead, right? Then you have to say, do I respect myself? If I don't respect myself, you know, others may be trying to bring it to my attention, but I never understand what they're speaking about if I don't know respect when I see it. Amen? Do I have respect? Am I committed to something? If I put my word to something, am I committed to that thing? How much love? How am I showing love? What I'm giving out, is that what they're receiving? Uh-oh, that's a bit iffy, right? Even on our jobs, am I committed to what I stand for? You know, one of my pet peeves is that I sit and I interview someone and I talk to them and I look them in their eyes and they tell me that, you know, I'm going to be committed to this job. Especially in situations where maybe you shouldn't, when we look at your resume, maybe that doesn't qualify you for this job, you know? But I sit and I listen to your stories, and, you know, when we're in need of something, we can come up with some stories, amen? We can come up with some pretty strange little things when we're in need of something. I'm going to say amen to that one more time, amen? But when the Lord opens that door and he starts to provide, and then it's like what I was speaking about in the last time, we so many times just, we don't receive it. We don't accept it. We don't even reach out and try to embrace it. And so that same person will come into that job and start having attendance issues. You've been praying for this, and God gives you to, and you tell me, oh, I wasn't feeling good. Oh, this here didn't happen. Wow. Thank God that God is not like we are. Thank God that he blesses me and he don't go on his feelings. Thank God if I don't feel good that I know that he can go ahead and take me through my day. I can still stand up to my commitments. My commitments don't have to go by the back, be thrown by the wayside because I didn't feel good, because I was mad at her, because I was mad at you. You know, I used to hear when I was young and this lady used to sing a song that, you know, she's so glad that God is the God of all things, that he decides that he's going to let the sun shine on the just and unjust. Because if it was left up to me and you, don't you know if we'd be for real, that it would be times it would be like, you know what, well, you're getting no sunshine today. You know, let me see how it feels for you when you don't see the sun, don't feel the sunshine for a few days. Now come back and talk to me. Or, you know, some people would have it snowy and cold all the time in certain areas, wouldn't let the people get the sunshine, you know. It would just be a mess, and our minds can't even imagine if we were in control. You would have to have so much money to have respect shown to you, to be loved. But I thank God that God is who he is. He's a God for today, for tomorrow. He's a God that doesn't change.
Oh, 1:30. No, I'm listening. Let's go into
our scripture. Let me just mute the lines real quick. And let's go into our scripture. And our scripture tonight is going to come from the book of Proverbs. Coming from the book of Proverbs. And it is from wisdom. Wisdom is supreme. We were just speaking about on our last show that as we're praying for our healing, just like the leper, when he saw Jesus, he never had a doubt in his mind that Jesus could heal him. That was never a doubt in his mind. So his question was, but will you heal me? Will you heal me? I know that you have a healing power, but will you heal me? And Jesus just answered that very quickly and said, I will. I will heal you. It is my will for you to be healed. And we spoke about all the scriptures about him, how he has promised healing, mentally, physically. You know, we think of healing, we always think that we're sick in some way. You know, we have to, may have separated ourselves from the goodness of the Lord. We need a healing. We may have allowed our mind to drift off into pornography. We need a healing. We may have just allowed ourselves to drift ourselves away from our kids or our loved ones or our commitment to be delivered from those things and need a healing, right? So Jesus said, sure, I will heal you. And he rushed out his hand and he touched the man. He said, now will you be healed? But it's up to us. Will we accept that? So that's the same thing as for us. When we're speaking about his willingness, his healing, we don't say if it be God's will for me to be healed. It is his will. He said, by my stripes, you what are healed. So we don't pray if it's your will that I be healed. He's already answered that for us. But now when it comes to his wisdom, and his wisdom is supreme, amen? Amen. So when we're speaking of his wisdom, we speak in a different language, right? That's when we do want to ask, if it's thy will. We don't want to just take it upon ourselves that what we think in our minds is the right way. We can get so convinced that we're doing the right thing. Proverbs will definitely tell us, you know, a wise man comes for comfort, comes for counsel. He doesn't just take it upon himself to jump out there just because he thinks it's the right thing to do. So in Proverbs 4, and then we're going to get into our discussion in good company. Proverbs 4, starting at verse 1, it says, listen, my sons, to the father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teachings. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep your commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I encourage you to read on a little farther and get into the whole gist of what he's speaking about. Because he's even naming wisdom as a, it's almost like a being. It's something that can control you. It can lead you in the right way or it can steer you in the wrong way. So it tells us in all of our doing, make sure we get understanding. Get wisdom. Do not forget the words. And he says, don't swerve from them. I like that. He says, don't swerve from them. He says, keep my commandments and the whole life. Not because it's something that you may think is right, but do it because God says that this is my word. Believe enough in him that that's what you're going to do. You're going to believe in him. So have you ever needed a friend? Have you ever just needed someone to talk to? You know, when you think about the people in your life, can you honestly say that any of them are true friends who knows and who knows you and really love you? Can you say that they're true friends? You know, you've made a lot of acquaintances in life, and who would, I need someone in my corner every now and then that's just like the friends that was determined, had determination, who was dedicated, that they was going to get their friend who needed a healing to Jesus. And even though they walked in the house and they were so packed with preachers and teachers and evangelists all around, they said, you know what, we're going to have to go up on top of this place. You hear this? And we're going to cut a hole and bring our friend. We're going to lure him down right in the presence of the Lord. That's determination. That's the kind of friendship that we're talking about tonight. That's what we're talking about, loyalty. The kind of friendship that they have your back. They believe in what you believe in. Amen? Even though they don't agree with all your actions, they got your back. They're still standing there for you. What better example than Jonathan and David to speak about? Before we go any further, I just want to offer up a prayer, a short prayer. As a matter of fact, we have guests on the line, and the chat rooms are definitely open, and I do see you in the chat rooms. God bless you. But, JD, are you available?
Yes, I'm available. I'm on the line.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to do the honors and just open us up with prayer, and then we're going to get started chatting, and you know how it goes. Come in there anywhere you want to, and let the Lord just tell me what you're feeling, what he's talking to you about tonight, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to just again say how pleased I am to be here and to be a part of it and to be able to receive the goodness here and some knowledge here. So I'll lead in prayer. I say everyone out there listening, may the Lord open your hearts and your minds and open you up to receive his word, his love, and his knowledge. And I don't know why I want to say it, but I guess his patience as well, and whatever you're going through, and just knowing that, he's always working behind the scenes on your behalf. And, I like what you were speaking about the commitment as well. And I pray that those out there would listen and allow the Lord to allow them to be used to dedicate to a cause or whatever activity it is that they, need to show that commitment to and to dedicate to. And I just pray that we'll all be able to come together and really enjoy it and be blessed. And the Lord just moves in everyone's lives and for in everyone's favor. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, son. Go ahead and just... Before we go any deeper, let me just say a prayer and we'll go ahead and finish it up. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just the opportunity to just come before you, dear Father, and lay down all of the burdens. You said that you want to carry our sorrows, dear Father. You would bear our grief. And you said, oh, we don't have to be. We're not built to carry it on. So I thank you that we have someone that we can come and lay it down. Dear Father, I just come to you thanking you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you for another opportunity to feel your Holy Spirit. I thank you, dear Father, for another day of protection and leading us and guiding us. I thank you, dear Father, for accepting all that I am today. Dear Father, I just allow you to just use me to be whatever you want me to be. I am your willing vessel, and I ask you to come inside of me. And, oh, dear Father, if you find anything that is not representing you, I ask you to cleanse me and replenish me with your love, with your joy. Dear Father, may I stiff my heart with your word. Dear Father, because out of the abundance of my mouth is from the heart. May I speak your word. May I live your word. I ask blessings, dear Father, on all of the families that are in bereavement right now. Dear Father, we ask the special blessings on the young man that drowned this weekend at the Canyon Lake. 15 years old. God bless that family and bless their heart and just be around them. Lift them up where they're all torn down, dear Father, and just give them peace and comfort. And just, I intercede with all the ones that are praying for them right now. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, in time of grief and in time of sorrow, we need prayer. We need that comfort. We need someone who's strong in faith that's going to stand in our corner. Amen? We need someone who's going to love us unconditionally. We need someone who's going to be committed to not just right now when the families are hurting, but we need someone who's going to be committed to through thick and thin to continue to pray for those families and continue to pray with them. And we all need prayer. None of us are above prayer. So I just thank God for interceders or all of the ones that are intercessors that can stand in the gap for those that are hurting right now. You know, we look overseas and Israel is going through so much, but we know the end of that story. You know, the Bible says that we already have victory. And I just pray for all of those in the midst of wars right now. We just come to God in prayer and lay it all at the altar, that it don't weigh us down. And right now I just pray that someone just reach out and just do something that they haven't done before. Step out on faith and do something that you know that God has been putting on your heart to do. And for whatever reason, procrastination, it could be, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to get started on that thing later on. Don't you know that the enemy is holding that gate closed? He's pushing against it hard because he don't want you to open that gate. But I stand with you as we push and knock down that gate. We don't even need it to be open. We're going to walk over it. Amen? We're going to walk over some of these temptations in life tonight. Amen? We're going to stand on strong arms and strong legs. You know, Aaron had to stand there as Moses was preaching and carrying on. And it was times that they had to get on each side of him and lift him up. Everybody wants to be a chief. But we need a lot of Indians. See, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Where are those who's willing to work the word instead of just reading the word? Where are those who's willing to work the word? Amen, amen. The laborers are few. The laborers are few. All right, JD, you can jump in here anytime you want to. God bless you and keep you. I pray that all is doing fine for you. Just wanted to real quickly say also that it was on the last episode, but, you know, happy birthday to Tatiana, 16 years of age. She's been counting down the days, so praise the Lord that she was able to see 16, and so we enjoyed tonight, and we're going to do a little bit more this weekend, and we'll wait on 17, huh? All right, praise be the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord, so... Talking about relationships, you know how it is to have just reminiscing just a little bit about the story we was talking about, the guys that the four determined friends who had their friend that was sick, and they were determined. I don't care how many people is in here. I know that Jesus is in here, and I believe that I know that Jesus can heal our friend. You know, how many of us, do we have those friends around us that would just open that door and saw all of those intimidating pastors and preachers all around in the room, just packed in the room, and would have said, you know what, you know, Brother J.D., I was going to take you near to Jesus to get healed of the sickness that you got, brother, but, you know, it was no room in there. I couldn't do it. We couldn't get past. You know, would have turned around. But these brothers were the kind that you want in your corner. I call them determined and dedicated. If they were determined to get them. In Luke 5 and 18, if you don't know that story, anyone, just read back on that story. That brings the words of love and faith, commitment, all of the things we're talking about tonight, that gives a prime example. Because we know in this room, as we just quickly go back on that, we've already preached this, but as we talk about, you know, how everyone has that same example to receive all the power that God had in that room. The healing power of God was just present, and anyone in that room could have been received. And remember, the Bible tells us that that room was jam-packed. Well, it actually says the house was jam-packed. Well, you know, paraphrasing the jam-packed part of it. But not one of those preachers, not one of those teachers, no one in that house tapped into the life force of God. That's really amazing. That's really amazing. I look around from time to time. We do that same thing. So if you've got all of this power, all of this money, which seems to be the power here in our world, and you're wanting to help the sick. You're wanting to build homes for the homeless. You're wanting to feed the hungry. And you have all of them packed in this house, but nobody will tap into this force and receive the gift that you're trying to give. Can you imagine that? But can you hear them also as they're just saying, you know, oh, I wish I had this. You know, I have a need. I'm praying. I'm waiting on God to do this for me. But no one is stepping out and receiving the gift that is right here before them. I'm working on this good husband, but you can't get up out of these beds that you're going back and forth daily and nightly behind closed doors. You know, I'm working on a good job, but someone take a chance on you, and then you can't even show up to work because you didn't feel good. So many different things. We're missing out on so many opportunities.
You need her. I'm waiting on that good friend. But when that friend needs you, you turn the other way. God, I'm sure God was so glad when the four friends cut the roof open and lowered down their friend, because he wants to do us favors. He wants to do that. He wants to heal us. He said, I've already bled. My stripes, by my blood, you're already healed. I want you to accept it. I want you to accept it. I want you to be all that you can be. I want you to do it with me. You say, well, I can't do it right now. Oh, you know, I'm still drinking. I can't do it right now because I'm not ready to. God ain't ready for me. I can't come to him like that. You know, but he says, just as you are. Just as you are. He says, you can't do it by yourself, but I can do it for you. I am the one who can do it.
You know, the building blocks of Jonathan was your fourth of the son of King Saul. And then David, you know, he was born to be the king. He was chosen, dedicated to be the king. Just be drawn to someone by the, what they think is a friendship. You know, sometimes it will go through seasons. And those seasons change. And before you know it, those people are gone out of your life. You know, I remember back in high school, I had friends that we swore we were going to be in each other's weddings and we would never part.
That was the season we were in. Seasons passed. You know, we go through things. So, JD, talk to me about that, any part of that that touches on you. Let me hear from you.
Okay. Yeah, no, I want to really kind of touch on what you said there. Kind of referring back to Luke 5, I think it was 18:20. But it's you know, you can find all kind of metaphors out there to match that scripture, but ultimately it comes down to, you know, just finding a way to get to Jesus and finding a way to get to what's right, you know, that inner feeling or whatever it is that you know that you have to kind of shed off, or you've been struggling with or wrestling with, or things you may, you know, things you know that you might be doing or should be doing, or places you want to be. You just have to find a way to do it, to get there and to receive what it is that's been already won for you. So I think that just the perseverance of the individuals and your friend, the paralyzed man, I think it was in that scripture, and just finding a way to get them to Christ for the force healing. And of course, it's always there for you, and we just have to find a way to kind of get away from the daily routine, some of the things that have become blind to us, and routines we've set up ourselves, or kind of little alleyways we've kind of gone down and become stuck down them, or maybe comfortable there and kind of decorated them and made them into what we believe we should be surrounded by, or the situation we should be in. But it's about kind of coming away from that and seeking Christ and seeking the truth and being led down on the path that he has assigned for you and your destiny, and you'll find the sense more freeing process. And again, I wanted to refer back to that scripture there, Luke 5:18. It was great, and I really liked it, and I think that it's pretty clear and cut dry. You can make your own analogies about it and kind of see where that applies for you.
Yeah, it really is. You know, you said a lot of great things, and it's just our day-to-day life. You know, we have to, day by day, God gives us a chance for new mercies, and we have to accept those, because it's just so much that can get caught up in our lives that we would get ourselves busy. And once we get busy, God cannot get in the midst of some of our busyness, because we're so caught up in all these things that we got to do, all these things we got to do. And we have to stop and stand back and say, well, if I'm this busy, maybe it's something that the enemy is trying to block me or get my attention. Maybe he's getting me distracted from something. Because when we look at the other side of it, we have to look at, well, God knows how many days, how many hours in this day we were going to need. He's never going to give me more than I can bear. He's not going to give me more to do than I have hours to do it in. Maybe I'm putting on too much. Maybe I'm choosing to do too much. And we definitely, and I know I can attest to that,
it's many times that I have to stop and say, God, was this really something that you wanted me to do? Did I put this weight on my shoulders, you know? This is a heavy load. Am I supposed to be doing this, 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 and this, and this? Is it stopping me from getting rest? The God in me asked me, question yourself on as you're doing your self-examination. Am I not getting my adequate rest? God said our bodies need to be in rest. It's so much the healing that goes on when he puts us to sleep. Our minds have to be at rest so he can watch over us and do things for us that we can't do for ourselves. So I have to look at things like that. And that's one of my biggest ones, is making sure that I'm not doing so much that I'm not sleeping. Because it may feel good to me. Ooh, 4 hours, that felt good. And jump back up and go do it again. And run another 16 hours at work. And I look up and be like, wow, I've been at work for 13 hours? Oh, maybe I should go home and then go do this and that. And then I have to think about it. Where did the time? Something's going to be cut short. And God knows I don't want it to be the word that I'm losing out on. And many times it is. You know? So we do have to stop and just look at ourselves, look at the ones around us. And I ask myself, honestly, you know, can I say to the ones who I say that, you know, are my friends, can they count on me in sickness? Can they count on me when they're up, when they're down? Can they count on me when it's inconvenient for me? I think that's the biggest thing. Can they count on me then? Can they count on me when I have to go out of my way to do something? Can they count on me? That's the way Jonathan and David was, and the Bible said that they was like glued together. I heard one preacher say it was just like, you know, you got somebody in your corner when it's just like you have a jar of molasses and they have one. You pour them into one tub, and you can't tell mine from yours. It's all in there together. You know, you've got to have each other's back. You've got to be there. And I want to be that kind of Christian that whoever it is in need, I want to feel what their pain when they're paining. I want to feel their hurt, even though if I have never been in that situation. I don't want to sit down and eat and watch the person next to me, you know, sit there and beg for food, and I turn and say, well, you know, they should get a job, you know. How many times do we not listen to the discernment of God's Spirit in us? And when he said go, and we don't go. When he said give, but we hold back. When he says speak, and we say, I'm not talking to them. You know, all of those things can block our faith. All of those things can block our respect. And again, we go back again to Luke 5, where we was talking about. And in that house that was packed, it tells us that it was preachers in that house. That house was packed with preachers and teachers, packed, but not one of them acknowledged or accepted the power of God that was in that house for any things in their life. I think about it sometimes, JD. What were they in there talking about then? They packed in the house with Jesus. What are they in there talking about? Do they have their collars on and their big Bibles, you know, and their wooden crosses? Are they comparing who they are and how many times they spoke in tongues? You know, the other story about how the demons was able to just whoop up on this man. So, you know, he went back and said, well, how was that able to happen, Jesus? You know, why weren't I able to cast out demons? Why not? I speak in tongues. I do this, I do that. But they didn't have deep down past all of that. It was nothing. It was hollow. The Holy Spirit was not there. The anointing was not in their life. And we have to continue to day by day check ourselves and just look and see what was my good today. And we can't be afraid to look at our wrong, too, and say, wow, I need to check that off. I write that on my list that I need to work on that. You know, we can't beat ourselves up because the devil condemns. Anytime he brings something to your attention, he's condemning you to depress you, to bring you down, to keep you down, and you'll never get up off of your knees because you're crying and sobbing. That condemnation is only from the enemy. our Father, God, he wants to reveal some of our shortcomings to strengthen us. It's to strengthen us, to make us stronger. And that's what we have to do. And that's every day, that's what we're here on the air doing. Every day, that's what we're trying to do. Not just read to wear, but find a way to entwine that thing in our lives so someone can see the good news inside of us. So that feels good after you get out of the Word. It feels good after you're under the anointing and you're sitting there and you're just, it's nothing of you. It's just the Holy Spirit has just came and overtaken you. It just feels good. But now what are you going to do with all of that? Are you willing to go out and share it with someone over here that who has been cruel to you on your job? Are you willing to share it in this crowded elevator when you're with all these suits and briefcases? Are you willing to share it? You know, and it may be different on yours, you know, with the officers or when someone is acting the craziest, you know, when you have to arrest somebody. Can you share a little word with them, you know? It's really something. Talk to me about that. You still here?
I'm here. Having some technical difficulties there. But no, yeah, to kind of touch on what you were saying, I think that the yes is very, very important to make sure you look inside yourself and ask Christ to really come into you and to work through you because, you know, if you're an empty vessel, like you I think you said earlier in the show, you mentioned, you know, faith without the action is dead. So you have to be able to allow Christ to come into you and use it in the situation that may be uncomfortable or maybe you don't know what part to say or how to say it or if you should say anything at all. Those are probably the times that, you know, you should assert yourself on what it is that you stand for. And allow God to come through you and be that vessel into just you know call it's all about calling making yourself available so that you can use tap into that God given love and just favor and His grace and you know you just start receiving and you allow Him to work in your life and you know now you feel like you are receiving His preferential treatment and it's just it's all about that and just seeking Him and truly seeking Him and using all that's there for you and making it positive and benefiting on it and really taking advantage of it and using it. Let it be a blessing to your life and spreading it to others as well. I do. Amen. I agree.
Yeah, amen. It's life is just a cycle. You fired up over a movie the other night. I think God is not dead.
Oh, yeah. Right? I am. It's a great movie. Check it out. And it's. I think it is revolutionary. I think it's. It leads the way. It's by far one of the number one spiritual films. It's awesome. I thought it was an awesome film, and it really speaks for the number of Christians out there who are maybe facing those ultimate situations with friends or non-believers or those who are curious or criticizers or, you know, those who just want to know about Christ or Jesus or Christianity and so many questions that come with it. I think this movie is a great tool for those Christians and some of the daily battles and questions and it really gives an insight on Jesus and the relationship. It's very, very systematic. It starts from step one and brings it to spends it into current time. So I think it's a great film. And it shows you both sides of it as well. It's not kind of one of those shove it down your throat. This is what I believe and this is that's just it. It kind of cross examines the opposition and kind of some of the skeptics and some of the scientists and atheist individuals and some of the things that they've had to say and what they stand behind, and they kind of put it to the test and they lined it up with God's word and they really go into quite a debate. So it's really good. I think it's a really, really good movie. I'd recommend it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to make sure that I buy some tickets and just pass them out on my job to whoever God leads me to give them to just to to make sure they get an opportunity to go sit. So it looks like it's self-explanatory. It's going to speak for itself. I'm going to pray over my tickets before I even give them to that person, and I'm going to pray as they go on, and so I know God is going to do his. So I definitely am. I want to make sure that I give someone an opportunity to get out and get a chance to do that. And most definitely, most definitely. Anybody on the prayer list tonight you'd like to call out for prayer?
Oh, well, just absolutely, just I'd like to call out the family for prayer, everyone in and around the family, extended family and friends and loved ones and, you know, that are out there and everyone's, you know, everything that anyone, you know, might be going through. Just put everybody up for prayer collectively and everybody's daily lives and jobs and their health and the world as well. You know, just want to pray for, again, I think you spoke earlier in the show about the, you know, the crisis in the Holy Land right now, in Israel, and you know, just the fighting over there. You know, I just pray for God's love and peace, and it's we know this, and we know this is to come, and we just pray for God's guidance through this time in the lives that we're seeing in the world. You know, seeing God's peace and love, and the most.
Amen. Well, son, I want to welcome you for coming on. I want to thank you for coming on. You're always welcome to come on. And I invite anyone in my last few minutes here to remember that have faith in God. Show selfless love to someone today. Make sure that you have a genuine commitment to someone. God has us all here for some reason, and we need each other. And before I leave, I just want to ask the question, do you know God? You know, as wonderful as companionship is, there's still one who surpasses them all, and that is Jesus. And he demonstrated his love by dying in order to reconcile you to God. If you don't know God, I invite you to just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are truly the Son of God. I confess that I have sinned against you in thoughts, words, and deeds, and please forgive me for all of my wrongdoings, and let me live in a relationship with you from now on. I receive you as my personal Savior, accepting on my behalf. You've already accomplished once and for all on the cross. And I thank you for saving me. Help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, it's important to let someone know